The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. The resurrection of Jesus is announced, and the response is one of terror and amazement. I begin reading at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many people enjoy mysteries, and mysteries come in all different sizes and flavors. Maybe you enjoy reading a mystery book of going through the pages and trying to figure out who done it. Or maybe you like to see the movies, and a lot of those movies are action movies, and also the intrigue that goes along with that story. There's so many different types of mysteries on TV. How many cops and detective shows are there over the last few years? Are mysteries of different sorts. Maybe you enjoy crossword puzzles. That's kind of a mystery too, trying to figure out how everything fits together or the word scrambles. We enjoy those kind of mysteries. Our gospel lesson this morning opens with a mystery as well. The women were heading to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, and the mystery was, is how are they going to open that grave? There's a huge stone rolled in front of the grave. How are they going to move it? Many of the tombs in that day and time were carved out of the soft rock in the hillsides of the Judean countryside, and they would put a track in front of the tomb. And then they would put a large, round, flat stone in that track, and that would roll that stone and keep the stone where it's supposed to be. But it was heavy. Maybe one good, strong man could move it, but several women going out there, it might have been very tough for them to move it. And they were trying to solve this mystery. Maybe they'll meet somebody along the way who can move that stone. Maybe one of the guards who were placed in front of that grave would even help them. But when they got there, the mystery was solved. They had been preoccupied with this minor mystery rather than thinking about what are the implications of all this? What's the implication of Jesus' death? What was his implication of saying that he would die and in 3 days he would rise again? They had missed it. They were worried about the trivial things of moving the stone. For us too, we get involved with a lot of the preoccupation of life, the busyness of life, of work, of family, of sports, of entertainment, of watching TV or movies or enjoying hobbies, doing different things. We get preoccupied with everything else. And we lose sight of the big picture that these things here on this earth really don't matter all that much. All these things that have us worried and preoccupied and trying to figure out how to fix things, it really doesn't matter when it comes down to the big scene of life and death,
and life after death. And so, as the women came closer to that grave, they saw that that mystery had been solved. But another mystery crops up. Who moved the stone? And as they go in, there's still another mystery. The grave is empty, except there's one more mystery. Who is this young man sitting there in the grave? And not only a young man, but a young man dressed in dazzling clothes. And not only a young man in dazzling clothes, but a young man who can answer their questions even before they ask. He says, "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He's risen. He has risen." For us too, as we go through life, there's all sorts of mysteries we have to solve. There's mysteries in our work, maybe as mechanics or carpenters or plumbers, that you have to figure out what's gone wrong and fix them. Maybe in medical profession, you have to figure out what this disease is and how best to treat it. We have all sorts of mysteries that we need to solve in our lives. For the women, they had these mysteries of God, these mysteries of Jesus. How did this happen? And here we hit upon the main part of our faith. We look at that mystery. Why did God do things in this way? And as we look at that whole story of God sending His Son, His only Son, into this world so that we can meet God on that personal basis. And not only that, that Son is willing to give His life for us. He goes to that cross. He's willing to be arrested, to be beaten, to be tried, and to be hung upon a cross and die for us, showing us that great concern for us, that great love that God does have for us. But then on Easter morning, we see that power of God, that power which overcomes even death which seems so final. Jesus is able to overcome even death, and He is raised up to new life. And we base our faith upon this story. We base our faith upon those promises that we too will rise with Christ, that Christ will come again for us. There's still yet another mystery here, and it's actually at the very end. Mark's gospel really isn't complete. The original version of Mark's gospel ends, "And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid of," and that's where it stops. Mark didn't finish his gospel. What they were afraid of, we can only guess, of maybe still afraid of that angel that had appeared in the tomb, or maybe afraid of the Romans, but they were terrified. They were afraid of something. It stops right there. If you look in your Bibles, some of the Bibles have different endings to Mark as well. There are some postscripts to this original ending. And in those postscripts, the women do go out and they do tell the disciples, or they go out and they tell other people. Jesus does appear to the disciples in other places. One version of the ending of Mark also has an ascension attached to it, where Jesus ascends back into heaven. There's a mystery here in Mark, but there's also that mystery in our own lives then too. That what does this all signify? What does this resurrection of Christ signify? That there is hope for us. That we too will one day rise again with Christ, that we will live with Him forever. And we see glimmers of that from time to time. We see how God interacts with us on a daily basis. Not only through this Easter story, but we see how God touches our lives, how God can heal us. We've heard stories of miracles. We've seen miracles of what can happen with that power of God, that power that can even overcome death. We have the hope that one day too we will rise with Christ. And we have a taste of that when we take Holy Communion, when we hear those words, "Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." We are remembered. Christ remembers us. God remembers us in this great act. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ has risen indeed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.